Okay, so thanks all everyone for joining. This is going to be the fourth and final shiur in a series on Avodat Ha'ilan, doing work to help grow trees during the Shemitah year. And I'd like to begin by reviewing a bit of what we've seen until now about Zomer, about pruning. So just to sort of recap, you have the source sheet. Does everyone have it? Should I share it? Everyone seems to have it. Beautiful. So what we saw last year, at the beginning of last year, was that while pruning on a simple level simply means removing unnecessary growth from trees in order to help them grow better, it's more complicated than that, right? Because we have many various terms which all relate to that in some fashion, and yet they're not all Zomer. And the question is why? What's the difference? Why does it make a difference? What kind of tree I prune? How I prune? Where does this all come from? Why are some of these things biblical, some of them rabbinic? So I outlined for you at the beginning of the source sheet a few different approaches to answer that question. So the first one is Rashi. Rashi, on a simple level, has the distinction that pruning only applies to the vine. Meaning, Rashi says, you could be doing the exact same action to an olive tree and to a vine, the grapevine, and yet the grapevine is Zomer, that's a biblical prohibition, whereas the olive tree will not be a biblical prohibition. That will be called Kirsum, that's something else. We ask the question, why? Like, where does that come from? Why should it be? So one suggestion you could give is that it's simply Xeratakosov, it's what the Torah says. The Torah says, Karen, Kar Mechalotizmor, and we don't compare that to other trees. That's a bit controversial because in other malachot, like Noteah, for instance, even though we do sort of move from Noteah by Karen, if you learn that from Zomer to other trees as well. So there are other approaches, and these don't have to be within Rosh, but they also can be. So the Egle Tal argues that it's about what you call it. It's what do people call the activity? And people refer to pruning vines as Zomer. They don't call pruning other trees Zomer, they call them a different name, and that's what determines whether or not it's a biblical or a rabbinic prohibition. And that's quite, I'll say, fascinating, that it really goes by the names and titles people use to define the activity. But beyond, on a more fundamentally, we had Rimon and others who argue that it's not simply Xerat HaKosav or, you know, simply semantics that the terms people use, but rather it depends on the role that pruning plays in the growth of grapevines and grapes. Right, I have it here for you. It's a basic direct quote. Chelek merkazim mitalek gidulan ha-goremet gilat anafim chadashim. That in terms of grapevines, pruning is not simply something you're doing to remove an impediment. It is a central role in the process of growing new fruit by causing the growth of new branches. This is, you are actually determining how many grapes are going to produce that year by pruning. So it's about the role it plays in the process. And based on that, you know, Rabbi Ramon said, maybe, I don't know if this is according to Rashi or according to others, like the Rambam, who doesn't limit it to Karen, maybe you could extend this idea to other fruits whereby the pruning plays a similar central role. And then to a more expansive definition is that of Yechiel Michal Tekachinsky, who we saw last time, basically extends this to all types of moving plant growth. Anything that you do, any time you cut a branch or a shoot from any tree in order that it should grow better or it become thicker, that's a Zomer. So that's a very expansive view. That would be a big stringency. However, as we pointed out, it seems like it's against the Gemara. Again, the Gemara distinguishes between Zomer and other sorts of pruning. And Tukachinsky in a footnote notes this, but he doesn't really address the issue. And so I'm not sure how to explain it with Tukachinsky. But that's what we've seen until now. So the question I want to tackle next is that of Kavana. Kavana in Zomer. Does it matter? We talked about the type of action that is considered Zomer, but does it matter what Kavana you have while you do it? Before we do the delve into that question, and we review some of the sources we saw last time because I went a bit quickly, I want to just define what we mean by kavana, right? So kavana means intent, but when we use the word intent, it means different things. Sometimes it means, did you intend to physically perform the act that you did, right? So did you mean if you turn on a light on Shabbos without Kavana, you didn't actually mean to flick the switch? And in such a situation, that's not the prohibition of whatever turning the light on, or any prohibition, right? Usually if you don't intend to do it, so that you don't have Kavana. That's not what we're referring to here. When I say Kavana here, I don't mean that, right? Clearly, if you accidentally prune the tree, that would be not biblical, right? That would just be like any sort of prohibition where we say your intent to actually perform an action is an integral part of your violating that prohibition. What I mean here is the question of goal. Yeah, okay. It's an accidental prohibition. Right? Trichina makes a good point. But it still is, even shogig is a biblical prohibition. It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's true. For sure. But that's not what I mean in this case. What I mean is that even if you intentionally perform the action, the question is what the goal in your mind is while you perform the action. So that we'll say that, for instance, in Shabbos, we talk about this, you know, if you prune a tree, as we'll see, but you're not actually, you have no intention to make the tree grow better, but let's say you want the branch, right? So you intended to remove the branch from the tree. You had full intention to do that. And you even know that it's going to make the tree grow better. But your goal isn't that. Your goal isn't about the tree. You want the branch. Now on Shabbos, that's going to be a problem, as we'll see. You can't remove a branch from the tree on Shabbos. It's harvesting. But that's the question that we have here. Is that necessary for Shvius? Are we concerned with your goal? Now, what do you think? Before we delve into this question, why should we or should we not be concerned with your goal when it comes to Shemitah? What do you think? Should it make a difference? If bottom line, you know, let's say I wanted the vine, as we'll see in the Gemara. So I'm interested in using the vine because I want to do a presentation to a number of elementary schools about how to use an olive press, and the vine is going to help me tie down the wheel, right? So I need the vine. And I don't care about the grapes growing any better. That doesn't concern me. They might not even be my grapes. They're someone else's grapes. Now, should that be a prohibition of Zomer or not? Chaim says yes. Why should it be? Yeah, so Chaim says, who cares about what you... Okay, so, you know, philosophically we can... trying to discern your thoughts. But the bottom line is, did you improve the land? And you did. That's what Chaim argues. And I think that is generally, most, we don't necessarily care about the goal in other areas of life, right? You know, if you eat, let's say you eat something that's not kosher, it doesn't really matter why you eat something that's not kosher, unless it's like, you know, extenuating circumstance, you need it for health reasons. But if you just, whatever it is, you know, if it was a ham eating contest and you don't care about the ham, we don't care. You ate ham. On a simple level, that shouldn't matter. So why should it matter whether or not, you know, you intended to do you're doing it for the sake of the pruning or for the tree or you're not? But why might it matter? Because we'll see that. Certainly, it does seem to matter. Why should it matter? What do you think, Tana?
Well,
why? That's what I'm asking you. Yeah, but I want to know why.
We see in Shabbat. In Shabbat, sometimes Kavanah matters with Melacha. So
say that again, Jeffrey.
And Shabbat, sometimes Kavanah matters during Melacha. Yeah. So why shouldn't the same thing apply here?
But maybe we should compare Shabbos to Shvius. That's what Jeffrey says. This is something he's noted a number of times. That there seems to be the Shabbos-Shvius connection happening. And in Shabbos, we certainly care about Kavana. That's because we say Melechas Machasheves Asra Torah, that the type of work that is prohibited to perform on Shabbos is thoughtful, creative labor. So maybe it should be the same during Shvius. So that's what I want to explore. What I want to explore is, should Kavana matter on Shvius? And if it does, is it because we're comparing the halachos of Shemitah to the halachos of Shabbos? And if we don't, then why would kavanah matter? So let's look at some of the evidence that we saw. We did see some of this last time. Look at source number one. Gee, the Gemara here quotes, this is a Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Zomer v'tzorek le'etzim chayv shtayim, achas mishim kotzer v'achas mishim mateya. What that means is if you prune a tree and you need the wood, you want the wood from a tree, firewood, whatever it is, so you're liable for two different prohibitions. One is you're doing harvesting, you harvested the wood, and you also are liable for planting, because by pruning this tree, that helps it grow, and that's a prohibition of Notea. So both of them. So that was one source. However, we also saw the Gemara in Sanhedrin, 26a. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you know, I won't read it inside, but I'll explain it outside because we've seen it in the past, discusses the case of Rish Lakish, who was walking with these two rabbis. And Rish Lakish is walking by and he sees someone pruning during Shvius. And it's not just he's pruning his grapevine. And that's a big problem. So Rish Lakish says, what's going on with this guy? What is he? He doesn't care about the laws of Shemitah. And they say, no, well, maybe he doesn't, not doing it for the vine. Maybe he just needs he needs to use the actual grapevine. Grapevine, he's not interested in helping it grow better. He needs the physical vine that he took off of the rest of the grapevine. He needs that branch. So Tosfos was bothered. Hey, and the Meir, and El Rishon would say, what do you see from this Gemara? Well, we do care about your Kavana. Clearly, if you prune, you do Zomer, but you're not intending to do Zomer for its own sake. You're doing it because you want the object that you're removing from the tree. That's not Zomer. That's what we see from this Gemara. Now, Tosfos, in two places, is bothered by this Gemara. Because he says, wait, in Shabbos, we said, that's in source number one, that if you're interested in the wood, you violate two prohibitions, right? You violate Kotzer because you want the wood, but you also violate Zomer. You also violate Zomer. You violate both. So why, in this Gemara in Sanhedrin, does it help that the person who did this was interested in the branch? Who cares? Bottom line, he pruned the vine. Now, Tosfos and Shabbos gives an answer which basically says that it's really not about the kavanah. Doesn't really matter. The intention doesn't matter. Whether in regard, in Shabbos, Tosfos says, whether in regard to Melechah Shabbos or in regard to Shemitah, you don't need the intention to prune. That's the simple implication of Tosfos. What we care about is whether or not what you did was productive for the tree. And so this is source number four. Take a look at source number four. This is Tosfos from Shabbat 73b. V'had da'amar ha'parik, zeh bo'ra yitzu chazel u'gav da'la kasach, amar lan kol mezamir. Right, this Gemara, which says that they saw this person was pruning their grapevine, and they said, what's he doing? He's pruning. Amar le'y yachol omar la'aka beit ha'ba'an yitzare. He could say, I need the vine for my olive press. But here we say that even if you need the vine or you need the branch, you're still liable for planting. No, you have to say what's happening there is that it actually hurt the tree. It hurt the tree. That's why it was okay. It's not that it's kavana. It's that he removed the vine in such a way where it was bad for the plant. The overall effect did not help plant growth. It actually hurt it. It was negative. And that's why it was okay. So Tosfos is saying pretty definitively, we don't require kavana. Right? That's the thing. Now, you didn't need to accept Tosfos' conclusion. This is what the Sfas Emes argues in source number five. Right? Take a look at source number five. The Gemara. Zomer v'tzorek le'etzim chayav shtayim. Says the Sfas Emes, from this Gemara in Shabbos, it would seem that you only need kavana for kotzer. In order, if you want to be liable for harvesting and you need the fire. Sounds like from this Gemara, in terms of planting, that doesn't require kavana. It's pruning slash planting, even if you don't need it. Fine. Me the low kamar donkey mitzarech lezimor. It says zomer mitzarech leitzim. Doesn't say sarech v'sarech zomer mitzarech lezimor. V'chein masha v'tosvos. He says, and that's the implication of tosvos, and that's why I asked this question. To amar la'aka beitzavani tzarech v'lo machai mishimotea. But he says akte rutzav ein muvan. So the Sas MS is bothered by Tosos's answer because there's a problem. The problem with Tosos's answer, right? What happened in the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Rish Lakish is looking at this person pruning their vine. And he says, how could you do that? It's Shemitah. Horrible. Bad. You can't prune during Shemitah. And they explain, no, maybe he needs the vine. Now, let's think for a second. If what you're doing was destructive, would Rish Lakish have been so confused by what the person was doing? No, shouldn't make a difference at all. If it was destructive to the vine, Rish Lakish should have just said, oh, I get it. He's not pruning because it's actually not helping the grapevine grow better. It's hurting the plant. So Sasama says, I don't like Tosos's answer. They're just like the bowl there. I have another way of solving the problem, says Sasama. You're only liable for Zomer if you have the intent of pruning. And the Gemara in Shabbos, which says you're chayev for both, when are you chayev? Why are you chayev in Shabbos? What's he going to answer? Why are you chayev in Shabbos for pruning also? Because you had Kavana. That's what we mean. Zomer, you don't need to say, says Fasemes, Zomer v'tzorech lezimor. Right? Oh, you pruned and you needed to prune. Well, of course you did. That's what you're doing. The chiddush is that not only did you want to prune the tree, you also wanted the branches. So it says tzarech le'etim. But of course, you need kavana for zimor also. So the point is that Tosfos is assuming you don't need kavana, and that leads him to a pretty remarkable conclusion and a challenging way to read the Gemara in Gittin. Why might Tosfos have resorted to this? Why didn't Tosfos simply say that no? That you do need kavana zimor. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who by the way has a commentary on Shabbos, just so you know, called the Chavetz Hashem, tries to explain Tosos here, and it gets to the heart of this question: when should you need kavana? When shouldn't you? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Shachin Nir Lafi Ani Yistaiti, in source number 6. The Af Em Avinim Bemenuach the Hachabina Domer Kavanas Lashpiach. Even if you're going to argue that you do need kavanas Lashpiach, you need to intend to help the plant grow better when you're pruning. Tani mili debiina melechas machsheves. I get that, because that's by Shabbat. Shabbat require melechat machsheves, right? That you need to have thoughtful, creative labor. Dimschavi magabe Shabbat, so asra Torah ela melechas machsheves. Because in Shabbat, we only need productive labor, or thoughtful, creative labor, that you have a thought process that you implement in your actions. The rest of the Torah doesn't make a difference. Like Chaim said, bottom line, did you do the prohibition or not? Of course you did. We don't care about your kavana or what your goal was. It's action oriented. Bottom line, you did the prohibition and you violate Torah law. So Tosfos and the Sas Emes are going back and forth here about whether or not we should require this kavana in Shviyas. And should we necessarily compare it to Shabbos? I might have a problem with sound. Let me fix that. Thank you for letting me know. Okay, do you hear me better now? Yeah? Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that's the argument between the Or HaChaim, the Sfas Emes, and Tosfos. That's Tosfos and Shabbos. There is another answer that's worth considering here, and that is Tosfos and Sanhedrin. Tosfos and Sanhedrin is not satisfied with simply saying that in Gittin, what you did was destructive. Probably because of the question that was raised, right? If you did it was totally destructive, if you were ruining the tree, it doesn't make sense to say Rish Lakish would be so upset at this person for doing what he was doing. So Tosfos gives a different answer. Tosfos in Sanhedrin distinguishes between Shabbos and Shemitah in terms of your productivity. Take a look at Tosfos number 7, the second line there. V'yishlomar de'abalei b'oto inyon devarai kashila. Kashila. You did it in a way that was certainly destructive toward the plant. De'leka l'chaivo mishamotea. You can't hold you liable for planting. Kinemrina gabi Shabbos, as we do by Shabbos. Vishani gabi Shabbos, imlachas mashavas asra Torah, v'hom mis'avda mashavta. When it comes to Shabbos, even if it's destructive, quote unquote, nevertheless, melachas machashevet asher Torah, and you did what you wanted to do. Even if it's destructive to the tree, since you thought to prune and you went through with your thought, you brought it to fruition. So that, I guess pun intended, fruition. So that's melacha. But in Shvius, you have to actually benefit the land. And he quotes this Gemara in Bava Basra, which I brought for you in source number 8. Well, it's a bit complicated, so we'll just reference it outside. You look, I'm flipping it inside. But the Gemara in source number 8 tells us that in Shvius, basically the case is you are, we'll get to it in a bit, you are cutting off a branch from a betulat shikma, which we'll say is a sycamore tree during Shvius. And Rabbi Huda argues you can't do that unless you cut at ground level. Okay. And the Gemara wants to know, why do you need that? And the Gemara says, when it comes to Shvius, we require that you do something that is destructive. In order for you to be able to do what you're doing, it has to be vadai kashi le. Apparently, on Shvius, if you do something that is quote-unquote destructive to the plant, that is permissible. That is Tosos' point. But the question is, just even in terms of what we're saying, Tosos, again, Tosos at this point is saying you don't need kavana. It's not about your intent. What it is about is whether or not your act was productive, right? Why? The problem is that on Shabbos, there's something called makalkel, right? What does makalkel mean? Makalkel means that if you do an act which is destructive, you're not chayav on Shabbos. So why then is Tosfos saying that on Shabbos, even though it's destructive toward the tree, that you're still chayav? It's very strange. So to the answer to this, I brought the Rav here in Shui Arav in verse number 9, where he distinguishes between the character of Malacha on Shabbos and the character of Malacha on Shvius for Tosfos. Says the Rav, we'll take a look at the second line there, Vira Bir Achilaku, the explanation, the distinction is, the B'Shabbos Malachas Mashavas Asra Torah. On Shabbos, it's Malachas Mashavas, Hainu Etzem Ha'iser Hu Ma'aseh HaMalacha Atzma. The prohibition is the act of Malacha. Flomar Shedarim Al Etzem Ma'aseh HaMalacha, Im Yesh Motikun Ola. Right? That we determine whether or not the act that you did caused any sort of improvement. Below Mistaklim Al HaKetumah B'Chulta, we don't look at the greater picture. And he gives an example. If you would write two letters on a beautiful picture, right? You take a beautiful portrait. You know, don't try this at home, obviously. Even during the week, don't try this at home. But especially on Shabbos. But if you take a beautiful portrait on Shabbos and you write two big letters on it, you ruin the portrait. It hurt the portrait, right? Now it's not good for the portrait, but you still wrote two letters. That's going to be kotev. Even though holistically, I guess you could say, you take a bird's eye view, you did with dad. But in terms of writing two letters, that's a tikkun. Now you can now see and communicate an idea through those two letters. However, in Shvius, that's not what we say. Take a look at the bold end there. The Gedra Isra Shvius Eino Etzim Hamlacha Ela Hashbacha Hakarka. Shvius, the prohibition isn't the act itself, but the result of that act in terms of its improving the land. That's what the prohibition is. If you don't improve the land, then you didn't violate Malacha Shvius. Therefore, even though theoretically in terms of pruning, you could look at that in and of itself and say, well, in the sense that these branches were impeding the growth of the tree, you helped it. But since overall you hurt the growth of the tree, that doesn't constitute Malacha Shvius, and that's Tosfos. Good? Understood? Questions? Beautiful. But either way, Tosfos is arguing you don't need Kavana for Zomer. That's what Zimzik is arguing. You don't need kavana. It's not about your kavana. It's about your productivity. However, as we know from our limud of Yerushalmi this year, and as we're about to see in the Mishnah, which we saw last time, it doesn't seem that this is such a feasible approach. There are many instances in Melachah Shviyas where we do care about why you're doing it, and specifically in Zomer. So if you look at source number 10, you have a number of examples of pruning that seem to be permissible in the Mishnah. We talk about essentially Medel Bazitim means removing some of the olive branches. We talk about, as we said, quoted in Gemara in Baba Basra, removing the branches from the sycamore tree in Mishnah Hay, in Mishnah Vav, it's Mizane Bagafanim, which the Rambam tells us, and the Rosh tells us, also means cutting off the branches from the vine. And these all seem to be mutter, and the discussion is, Mishnah is, what kind of shinoi do you need to do? Do you need to do a shinoi? Don't you need to do a shinoi? These are all discussions. And the question is, why are all these things permissible? Isn't that just Zomer? Especially when you're cutting the branches from a vine. What's going on? If you look at the Rambam in source number 12 and source number 13, the Rambam makes it clear the reason this is okay is because you're not having kavana for the pruning itself. What you want is what you're taking off of the tree. You want the wood, you want the branches. And therefore, it's permissible. And these are explicit Mishnayot, and there are many of these. So the Rambam certainly is saying pretty explicitly that your kavana does play an eye in kavana in terms of your goal for Zimur does make a difference in terms of Shemitah. However, Tiferes Yisrael in source number 14 is a bit bothered by this. He doesn't understand. Why should it matter? Take a look at the bold. I don't get it, says Tiferes Yisrael. Essentially, Chaim's question. Okay, good. So you didn't intend, quote unquote, to help the tree grow better. But you are causing that, and it's inevitable. Every time you remove the extra vine, it's going to help the plant grow better. That's a psik reshe. We say in the case of, and this is called Torakula, we always say that if you know, I shouldn't say always. Always is always a dangerous word to say. But generally, if you intend, even if you don't intend to produce a specific result, if it will happen inevitably, it doesn't make a difference. So why should your lack of kavana matter? Make a point in tunnel? Why?
Is it really a psik resha though? Because on Shabbos, if you know right. Motion detector, you know a motion detector light's going to go on. It's for sure. I mean, there's no doubt, right? But here, you don't know whether or not, let's say, the tree will get better or not because of your pruning. You know, sometimes things work in nature and sometimes they don't. Farmers are successful and unsuccessful.
Well, I'm basically going to say what you're saying. So Rafi argues maybe you won't improve, right? But I think his point, though, so I don't think it's a strong question. I think he's sort of conflating our two questions, which is, you know, kavana, I think, and maybe it's what you're saying, Jeffrey. He's conflating kavana in terms of producing a result and kavana in terms of your goal. And if we care about your goal, it shouldn't matter necessarily that you're not intending that it's going to happen. Meaning, if in order to be chayiv for malacha of shvius, you need to have the intent, the goal of helping the tree grow better, then even if you know, ultimately will happen. If you don't have that, it's not your goal, then it might not matter, right? We don't, in Melacha Shabbos, it's Dabar Shein HaMeshavin. Melacha Shein Tzriach L'Gufa. Dabar Shein HaMeshavin is you don't intend for the actual result. Melacha Shein Tzriach L'Gufa is that it's not just that you don't intend for the result, it's not your goal. You might know it's going to happen. You might even,
yours is a very good answer. Right, I was asking, I was saying something else. Yours is a very good answer to it. But I'm asking something else. I'm saying normally in a psik resha, it's exactly, you know what's going to happen. Here you don't know whether the tree is going to improve or not, because stuff with nature, sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? You have successful crops, unsuccessful crops.
Right.
But so it's not really a psik
resha. But I guess my issue, well, why I'm saying it differently is because I think then you could sort of say you're never high for Zomer, right? Because, well, maybe it will never grow. Right, like you don't ever know your actions are going to be successful, but Zorea, you know, or Zomer, you know, if you do the activity with the purpose of helping the tree grow, even if it won't grow, but I hear your point. Okay. So the question is, how do we deal with it? So a number of basic approaches. The first approach would be to say, why might you need kavana? Maybe we do require malachas, mashavas, and shvias. So is that so? If you look in sources 15 through 17, this is the Gemara and Tosos comments on it. Tosos argues adamantly no. Tosos argues there's no such thing, no such requirement as malachas, mashavas on shvias. Take a look at source number 15. So source number 15 deals with a fine for people who work their land in certain ways during Shemitah that they can't use the land after Shemitah. And one of the examples, and here are the examples. This is source 15, Gemara Ginnin, Mem Dalam of that, 44b. Sadesh and Akatsa b'shviyit, tizar alamote shviyit. If you plant a field, if you niskabsa, which means, as we'll see, you remove the thorns from the ground of your field during Shviyas, you're allowed to plant it on Motzai Shviyas. That's okay. Nitaiva Onidara, which we'll translate for now, if you plow it or you pen it, and allow your, as we discussed yesterday, guys, if you allow your animals to fertilize the land, then Lo Tizar al Motzai Shviyas, that's not okay. Now, Toso is trying to determine what exactly are you doing when you remove the thorns. He says as follows. This is both in Tosos and Gidin and in Moed Katan, but we'll read just 16. What does it mean, Nitkatsa? You're removing the thorns that are not attached to the ground. And that's Yerushalmi says too. If they're attached to the ground, if your thorns are entrenched in the ground, Asurin Nidioraita, that would be biblical prohibition on Shemitah. And then you would be fined, right? If you perform a biblical prohibition to your field, we do fine you. That's what Tosos is assuming. Kidamim Paragabona, Hatolesh Olshim HaMizari Zradin. We say in Habona. And now, it's really interesting, Tosos here is equating Shvias and Shabbos. He's going to distinguish between them in a second. So we say regarding Shabbos, if a person removes thorns or thistles from their land, in the Yafo Takarka Kolshehu, if your intention by doing that is to make your land more plantable, even removing one thorn is a violation. And it says, Afa Pida Hatam Patra Ba'ar Dechavre. There we say, if I remove thorns from my land on Shabbos, that's Horesh. But if I remove thorns from someone else's land, it's not Horesh. Why? Because I'm not planting in someone else's land. I don't really care about the fact that it improves the land. I'm just doing it for the thorns. But that's on Shabbos, as Tosfos. Hacha lekele ukli b'hachei d'shvias lo mistar mishom melacha shen tzmichel gufa. Says Tosfos, you don't care about your goal in shvias. It doesn't matter. You remove the thorn from your friend's field. Clearly your goal is not to help the plant grow better. I mean, assuming, let's say you don't like the person and you have no desire to help him plant his field better. It doesn't make a difference. You improve the land. On Shvias, we don't care about your goal. This is the same thing says Tosfos in number 17, and he says it more explicitly, maybe. Take a look at the last line. Avagabi Shvias lo ba'ina malacha machashevet. We don't require malachas, machashevet, and Shvias. And this is one reason why Tosfos is arguing very vehemently that you don't care about Kavanat Zimur, because you don't need malachas, machashevet. However, some argue based on Rashi that maybe Rashi could argue, not necessarily, but could argue do Nilach Mashavas. Why is this? So if you remember, a number of weeks ago, I think we returned this a number of times, the Gemara in Moed Katan distinguishes between Toldos and Avos on Shemitah, during Shemitah year. Why? What are these Toldos? That's the question. It says Rashi in source 18, could go Mashkez Ra'im Shalom Haya B'mishkan. That all the things, says Rashi, how do you define what's a tolda for Shemitah? It's based on what wasn't in the Mishkan. If it wasn't in the Mishkan, then it's a tolda. Rashi seems to be equating Shemitah with Shabbos. So based on this equation, that whatever is a tolda for Shvias is also a tolda for Shabbos, there are those who argue that maybe for Rashi, you could argue you indeed do need melachas machsheves. You could argue it's a hekesh, they're both called Shabbaton. We clearly compare them in some areas. And maybe that's one reason why some of these mefarshim are arguing that you might need melachas machsheves. Okay. However, there is another way to go with this. And that is that sometimes we say that not having kavana is not simply a lack of a general kavana requirement, but it takes away from the context of the activity that you're doing. And ironically, the perfect example for this is Tosfos. In the same Gemara we learned before in terms of kotzer, right? Tosfos, the Gemara says, you prune a tree and you want the firewood, you're chayav for two things. What are you chayav for? Planting and pruning. Thank you. Says Tosfos, why do you have to need the firewood? Argues Tosfos as follows. Niradat filu Rav Yehuda de mahaya melacha shirin tzirich lagufa, but inon sarich le'etzev. Even according to Rav Yehuda, who says that we don't have a general requirement that you're doing the melacha for its own sake on Shabbos, and you have to have a specific goal in mind. Rav Yehuda says, even if you don't have that goal in mind, it doesn't matter. Even, nevertheless, he will also require that you want the wood in order to hold you liable for a kotzer. Why? It's not called harvesting unless you want the trees. And he says it's the same thing as Korea, you need amanas lit for, and Rav Yehuda will agree you need amanas lit for. If you're tearing on Shabbos, it's not considered tearing unless you're doing it in ultimately resew the material, and when you erase, you have to erase in order to write it again. All of these things, Rav Yehuda also agrees to, because certain activities, kavana is part and parcel of that activity. In the same vein, you could argue that even if you don't require melechas masheves on Shvius, nevertheless, it's just not pruning unless you have a certain intention. And this is actually what the Chaz and Ish argues in the source number 20 to defend Tosfos. Again, Tosfos here distinguishes between, it's actually kind of ironic because Tosfos is the one who doesn't require kavana, but Tosfos distinguishes between Shabbos and Shvius in terms of productivity. Why? What does that mean? Says the Chaz and Ish. But Tosfos, a hedron, shon kosfer, the adbele bohutu inyon, source 20, the vari kosher, the lekel achai mishimotei agamin gavi Shabbos, the shani gavi Shabbos. He quotes Tosfos. It can't be that you prune the vine in a way that doesn't help at all. How could anyone mistake a type of activity which is just bad for the tree to be a malacha? Pruning is not simple, right? You just go home and take your shears and start, you know, cutting branches off your tree indiscriminately, it's not going to help your tree grow better. That's not pruning. That's just destructive. You know, you might be having fun with your shears. That's just not pruning. Pruning requires precision. Requires a certain wisdom. If you are not careful, then it's going to hurt the tree and the fruit. Any sort of zimor which is not done with kavana is actually going to harm the peros. And he goes to the same chiluk. On Uvi Shabbos, Hashem Zomer, the source of a zimor, we look at Cholzomer, Asha Dikdik Hogan. On Shabbos, we look at specifically that there is some sort of tikkun because those trees were hurting the tree, those branches were hurting the tree in some way. Aval Ian Shvias came to Inosin Kane, who is Chavin the Eitzim Shari. So the point that Chazanesh is making is that you can't, if you're not meschavin, you're not medaktik, and zimor, you can add it to the list of definitions of zimor. Zimor requires diktuk, it requires precision, it requires that you pay specific attention to what you're doing, and if you don't do that, it's not pruning. It's not a kavana issue per se. Yeah. I think the Chazon Ish would argue that Zomer. Beautiful. Yeah, if the point isn't your kavana, the point is your dictum. That's what he's arguing. I think the question would be when you prune the tree, are you doing it in such a way that you're careful that what you're doing is going to be helpful? I don't know what you, okay, like, so what if you mean to not harm it but not hurt it? It doesn't seem like very, like you're specifically not trying to make it grow better. I don't know. That seems a bit strange. You're probably doing it in the most productive way that you can if you're doing it with kavana. I think that's what he's assuming here. The point is that if someone like me, and Ramon actually postulates based on this, that if like you have no idea what you're doing, it's not zomer. And that's what he says. You have to have kavana and dikta. Based on this, again, you could also answer the Tiferes Yisrael's question. The Tiferes Yisrael asks, who cares if it's sick ratio? The answer is no, it's not. Because if you don't have kavana to actually prune, then you're not going to, as Sober Jeffrey was saying before, actually, you're not going to help a tree. In fact, you're going to hurt the tree, and therefore it's not Zomer. The point is, you could argue that they're unique specifically kavanat zimor, even if the Me'iri will say and the Rambam will say that maybe generally, although you don't have to say this, but generally, other malachor might not require kavana, maybe zomer, because if its nature requires kavana. So that's another way of suggesting that you might need kavana for zimor. Okay. However, the last idea I want to present here is that it could be that there is a general kavana requirement in Shemitah, but that kavana requirement isn't based on malachas mashav. So what would it be based on? So it's going to relate back to an idea that we've mentioned a bunch of times, I actually mentioned in my Hakdamashir when I quoted Shal Yisraeli, which is that the character of Shvius, Malacha and Shvius, is a bit different. That the character of Malacha and Shvius is that you can't work in such a way that demonstrates that you are exerting your ownership over your land. Yes, Rav Kirchner smiles because I love this idea, and I do, he's right. but that's okay, I think it's good to like ideas. And this is what Rav Scheinberg argues in the following Yerushalmi, verse number 21. Yerushalmi says as follows: you can't train a cow to plow your land on Shemitah year, except if it's in the sand. Because in the sand, you're not gonna plant in the sand, right? Like that's not gonna really go very well. So that's okay. Okay. So Chaim says somehow you can't plant this sand. It's not normal. I don't know. Okay. Mishum Gamil Omer, I feel betok Saddam water. Mishum Gamil says you can even do it in the field. Vavachli Yisvachetamana, as long as you don't lean on the plow. Okay. So, number one, why would it be okay to do this? What's Mishum Gamil saying? He's pretty mako in general. He told us a few times ago that you can, you know, plant non-fruit trees during Shemitah. It's just the same Gemara. But why? Why is this allowed? Who cares if you're doing it to train the animal? I thought malacha she'ena tzriuka lagufa, according to Tosos at least, is not an issue on Shemitah. So at bottom line, you're helping the animal plow your land. And that's plowing, as Richard Cheater mentioned a number of shiurim ago. We don't say, well, because you're leading the animal to plow on a simple level, that that's not plowing, it's the animal doing it, right? That's a normal way to plow. So who cares that you're doing it for the training purposes? You're plowing. And number two, the Peirusha says here, abacholo, makom shina roi lezriya, shloi hei nire. Kechoresh. Sounds like it's a derabanan. It's ma'aretayim. You don't want people to think you're plowing, so you do in a place where they won't get confused, and you go elsewhere. And that's why Shimon says it's not a problem. He's not worried because, okay, like they're going to know that you're doing it for training purposes. But why should that matter? That's the big question. So Rav Scheinberg argues here that it matters because unless you have the kavana for avodas karka, that's not the normal way to do malacha. And if you don't do malacha kederech bailam in a way that the owner of the field would do, it's not malacha and shvius. Take a look at source number 23. Kishin is bar, the shvius being a dak of us karka. Yotze, shafim osip pulas malacha b'shvius. Even if you do an act, which quote unquote would be considered malacha, kol she'inara b'toras malacha, melechas karka. If it's not quote unquote melechas karka, hanu derech, Malachas karki derech bailam, working the land in the way that the owner would, eino aser midoraita. It's not a biblical prohibition. That's why training your cow is just a rabbinic prohibition. Below midoraita, below aser midoraita, abinim lechem tachar kadafka. You require working the land. B'chol shadaito al parato shatilmo, lachosh. And if your intention is to help train your cow, here's a little lengthy explanation here. If you don't care about the, it's almost similar to Chazanish, you don't care about the plowing, you're just doing it to train the cow, you're not going to care if it's really in the ground and it's doing it right and it's really plowing the land, you're not going to care about that. But I forgot the Harisha Mianasi, even though some plowing is done, So the point is, you're not, and his argument is, the kavana you need for shvius is not just kavana for the act, it's kavana for avodas karka, because that's the isser. The isser isn't the act, it's the fact that you are working the land like an owner. And therefore, he argues that... that during Shemitah, this would be allowed. So in conclusion, though, if you look at verse 24, the Sefer Tukachinsky argues that we do require kavana zimor, and therefore, if you do prune for the fruit that isn't zimor and should be biblical, shouldn't be a prohibition. However, we are worried about tosfos, and therefore, you should do it in a way that's quote-unquote harmful for the tree. You should do a shinoi, and to worry about tosfos. It seems like either because we require malachas ma'sheves, or because it's just not zimor, or because it's not vos karka, that we do require kavana for zimor during Shemitah. This is going to stop my portion of this year. And I turn to Rabbi.